I was sitting in a seminar a few years ago, and I'm terrible to be in the audience always. I started doodling, and my ADD kicked in, and honestly, I can't even tell you what the guy up front said. I should have apologized to him. I was drawing pictures and writing out psalms that I had thought I could just remember and see how many I could write to get through the seminar. And then I started doing sermony kind of things, and I thought, and I wrote it down, I don't need another seminar, I need a psalminar. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool, that'll preach. And so I started looking at the Psalms, 139. Back in high school, I wrote a song for camp from Psalm 139. But I wrote a lot of songs in high school, don't remember them all. And this one that we're going to learn at the end of this message together, because I want you to learn it and sing it with me, came from Psalm 139 and was a good song. But I wrote a lot of songs, jingles, ditties for camp that weren't all that great. Some of them should have been a hit, though, like this one for camp. Well, there are big, long songs. There are short, little ones. This is a short one. Stuff like that. And then we would take, like, Beatles songs and change the words. And when I went through my pimple stage in junior high, I took the song Yesterday and changed the words. I won't sing the whole thing to you, but you'll get the flavor. Yesterday, all my pimples seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. It's stuff like that. There's a Christian comedian named Tim Hawkins who just rewrote not long ago the Beatles song Yesterday. And he wrote it about a subject near and dear to most of y'all's hearts. And that would be this restaurant right here. So I'll sing you his song. I had to change a line or two to make it more like me. But it goes like this. Yesterday. No, that ain't right. I didn't even start. Chick-fil-A. I could eat there 7 times a day. Where the people laugh and children play. Oh, I believe in Chick-fil-A. Suddenly, I need waffle fries in front of me with some nuggets and a large sweet tea. Oh, Chick-fil-A, you set me free. Here's the part that brings a tear to my eye. Kids, get in the van so we can go there today. Oh, the stores are closed, 'cause I know that it's Sunday. Chick-fil-A, you took all my lunch options away. Now I'll have to settle for Subway. Oh, I believe in Chick-fil-A. Finish it with me. Ooh, Chick-fil-A. Oh, wasn't that nice? So I wrote one about Psalm 139, and it's a little chorus. And again, at the end, I want you to sing it with me, because the greatest songwriter in history is the one who wrote the Psalms. And probably one of the greatest songs ever written is the one we want to read from today. So check it out. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Let me stop there and a moment of clarification. One of the reasons I really like this is because David is the only person I've ever known, and I didn't know him personally, but from his readings, who takes responsibility for his own anxiety. Doesn't blame his circumstances, doesn't blame the economy, doesn't blame the fact that Saul's trying to kill him, doesn't blame teenagers. He takes responsibility and says that his anxiety, his stress, it's all his own fault because of what he's allowed himself to do with it. And so this is a great psalm. His point is nothing changes until I do. Now, I won't go into it, but the verse that led into this verse is an interesting verse that talks about some stress and anxiety. Look at the previous verse to the one we read. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. So he goes from that to saying, you know what? Search me, God. Forget my enemies. Search me and help me with my anxiety. Now, David wasn't familiar with today's psychology or neural pathways, but check out verse 24. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So let's take a serious look at the question that we need to ask today. And the question is this: why am I so anxious? Why am I so anxious? I want to give you a heads up, church, and a friendly warning. God's watching over me. His surveillance system is in every situation in my life. So you better be nice to me. God is watching how you treat me. He's watching how you talk to me. And guess what? God likes me. Now, how do you parents like it when somebody talks about one of your kids? God feels that way 1,000 times over, and he's watching over your life. So if that's true, why am I so anxious? If I open up my Bible and I read, God supplies every one of my needs, why am I so anxious? If I turn the pages in my Bible and I read, if I'm for you, who can be against you? Why am I so anxious? If I open up the Bible and I read where Jesus says he takes care of the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, will he not much more take care of you, Mark? Why am I so anxious? Well, we can answer that this morning, and we're going to do this in seminar form, or if you will, psalminar form, and this will be a good day for you note takers. There's several things we need to check when answering the question, why am I so anxious? And the first one is this: check your intake. You need to check your intake. Why am I so, how full I am of what? Because I have found out that anxiety and cellulite have one thing in common. You can't pray either one of them away. They're both about intake. I'm not very good on my phone. I need my kids' help to navigate my phone. My two grandbabies are being dedicated today. I'm bumming that I can't be there, but I'm happy to be here with you all. But they always have to show me functions of my phone, and I'm amazed by how often people are on their phone and stressed out they are by their phone. And I didn't know, but if you push this button right here on the side, look what happens if you hold it in. Wait a minute. Look at that. Did you know your phone does that? I didn't even know my phone could do that. Listen, we can't take it all in and still have room for the peace of God. You pray for the peace of God, you don't have anywhere to put it. Your mind's too full. We weren't designed to have the entirety of the human conversation, of the whole human race buzzing in our back pocket. Walking around like a sniper hitting us all day long. Well, what'd they say? Well, where'd they go on vacation? What about that press conference? What's the latest poll say? Did the Colts make a trade? Did the stock market move the needle? Oh, look, Aunt Gladys, who we haven't seen for 67 years, is having her gallbladder taken out. Did you read about Megyn Kelly getting fired? Look at this picture. It's really funny. Look at this picture. It's really sad. Hey, looky there. Eggs are bad for you. And what do you know? The church finally got rid of that preacher. Oh, I'm surrounded by 12 people. This is a good time to play Candy Crush. Did you know they're going out of business? Oh, hey, just called to tell you there's a new restaurant in town. It's Cajun, which is just a notch above Chinese. Oh, look, did you know this couple is struggling with their marriage? Hey, so-and-so had a baby. I can't believe they're paying that much for that apartment. What's wrong with kids today? Why would anyone post that? Of course we're freaking out. Of course we're zombies. Numbing ourselves and drinking and smoking and popping. Of course we can't stop it. Devil has a shock collar on her back pocket. We don't even know it. And we come to church to get 30 minutes of Bible, and we lay that over 50 or 60 hours of media that's designed to hardwire the way we think? Where's the peace in that? One of the most repeated phrases of my teenage days in church was the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. Remember that? And I think that's true. I get that. But I think that what we don't take in is just as fatal to our faith as what we do. We need to get our intake levels up when it comes to spirituality. Many people in our church, and that breaks my heart, are starving to death spiritually. And just like in physical fitness, you can't out-train a bad diet. Some of you track what you eat. I never have, probably never will, but it's cool if you're doing that for health purposes. How many of you track what you eat? In every service, I had people who track what they eat. A lot of you. I was talking to an older guy recently. He was talking about his cholesterol. And honestly, I'm clueless. I don't know what cholesterol is. When we were growing up, we didn't have cholesterol. That's the truth. If we'd had it, we'd have fried it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't track what I eat, but let's do this. How many of you have already had something to eat today? Keep your hands up. I want to see. Okay, most of you, but not all of you. How many of you, including those of you that just raised your hand, you can do it again. How many of you plan on having something to eat today? Hands. Okay. if I still haven't caught everyone, how many of you have had something to eat within the last week? Let me see your hands. Okay, there's still one lone holdout smart aleck like I would be if I was out there in the pew. How many of you plan on having something to eat on Thanksgiving? It doesn't matter who I ask. At every church, they'd say the same thing. You've eaten, you're going to eat, you plan on eating. You've got to plan 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time to eat. How many of you, don't raise your hand, have fed on God's word this week at all? Don't raise your hands. How many of you have a plan to feed on God's word? How many of you could say you know for a fact that on Thanksgiving, as you know for a fact, you're going to eat turkey and pumpkin pie? How could many of you would say, I know for a fact, I'll be feeding on God's word. What food is to your physical welfare? Word of God is to your spiritual welfare. Why would you ignore one when it's far more important than the one you take care of? Two guys were being chased by a lion who hadn't eaten for 4 days. And he's closing the gap on them. They can see we can't outrun this lion. So his buddy said, what do you want to do? He said, just pray. It's all we can do. So they prayed, Lord, we can't outrun this lion. We see that. Could you turn this lion into a Christian? So the next time they look back, the lion's on his knees and he's got his paws together. They thought it worked. So they're walking toward the lion and then they hear the lion pray, thank you, Lord, for this food that I'm about to receive. Why am I so anxious? You check your intake. Why am I so anxious? Check your imbalance. I bet to some of you, everything in your life feels urgent. That's a terrible sign, by the way. You need to take a step back and prioritize what's going on in your life. My buddy John Hampton preaches in Florida. He went to Israel on an observation tour. Some preachers, their flight was delayed. Their travel plans delayed. They get there a few days after they were supposed to get there. And the tour guide said to him and the group, we are going to run where Jesus walked. Make up for lost time. Well, it doesn't work that way. You can't go faster than the one who's leading if you want to be a follower. Better figure this out. Now, this may hit hard, but it's the truth. And I'm not looking to be offensive at all. By saying yes to people who essentially are using you to achieve their own goals, now you find yourself unable to give to the people God has entrusted you to care the most for. See what I'm saying? Because you didn't weigh it out and there's no balance in your life. You've now given yourself and the best part of you, not to the people that God's given you to take care of, but to the people who have used you to get something from you. Stressed out, giving weight to the wrong thing. Now, I'm not talking about balancing church and home or home and work. I'm talking about the words that people use. You don't give enough weight to the right words. You have to weigh it out. When someone doesn't like you, sometimes it doesn't matter. It depends on who they are. Now, I feel like I'm being mean in saying that. But trust me, I've read that over and over and over before I said it to you. And it's exactly right. I think I'm like most people. I want to be liked. I always have. I figure that's better than the alternative. But I learned many moons ago that can't be my goal or I will be forever disappointed. I had a guy tell me after church once, there was literally nothing about me that he liked. That's how he said it too. What would you say to that? I didn't know what to say. All I could say was, you shouldn't have said that to me, Dad. It wasn't my dad, but a man who came regularly to church. And I'm wondering, why in the world did he come? He didn't like, I literally don't like anything about you. Jeesh, not my preaching, not my singing, not the way I dress, not my hair, not my cute smile. I have dimples, not my personality. Not my family, not my car, not my height, not my weight, not my eyes, not my guitar, not my accent, not my upbringing, not my manners, not my joking around or childlike behavior. He looked me in the eye and literally said, I don't like anything about you. I could have took that to heart and went home and started popping Tums and let my mind blow up with thoughts of, I wonder how many other people feel that way. I wonder if he's speaking for everyone else. Why would he say that? How can I fix this? What can I do to change it? But I already knew, because I weighed it out, it's okay that he doesn't like me. It is. Now, if my mom had said that, it would crush me. If you all said that, it probably would crush me. I had years ago someone tell me that so-and-so hated our church. They used the word hated. And then I said, what about? And they said, well, they've never been here. And I said, well, get them to come. And then they came, and the person said, well, now they said it wasn't that bad. Well, if you go from hate to not that bad, I guess that's good. But when I started in ministry, that would have killed me to hear that. Not now. Doesn't bother me. Didn't bother me. You know why? Because I already knew our church wasn't that bad. As a matter of fact, not only did I think it wasn't that bad, I thought it was freaking awesome. I didn't need someone to validate what I saw every week. I already knew God was in that place. I'm glad you didn't really think it was that bad, but I'm not waiting for you to hand me the award for not that bad. It was not that bad before you came and determined to you it was not that bad. Listen, we need to surround ourselves with people who are positive, encouraging, and you've got to work to do that because the other kind of people, they will find you naturally. And I know there are many things that don't lend themselves to feeling hope and encouragement, but the truth is you have no more right to steal my joy than you have to walk in my house and steal my silverware. We can't be happy all the time. I know that. I try. But life doesn't lend itself to that. Little boy sitting at a wedding with his mom, never been to a wedding, and he sees the bride coming. He hears the big music. And the bride walks right past where he's sitting, and he says, Mom, why is she wearing all white? And the mom said, well, she's happy. That's a color of happiness. Happiest day of her life. About a minute later, then the little boy said, well, Mom, why is the groom wearing black? You got any VDPs in your life? You know what VDPs are? Very discouraging people. You have any of those in your life? Kind of the extra grace required folk. I have some of those in my life, but I also have some VEPs. I hope you have some of these. Very encouraging people. Do you know what happens if you have more VDPs than you have VEPs? You're in VDT. It's about balance. Why am I anxious? It's about intake. It's about imbalance. Check this. Check your indecision. Man, could I preach on this for a month of Sundays? I'm giving you homework. I want you to make 3 decisions by Wednesday. You procrastinators, put a D-Day on it. 3 decisions by Wednesday. I don't even care if they're good decisions. If they're bad decisions, you can apologize, whatever. Make 3 decisions by Wednesday. 3 decisions, all right? I'm so frustrated with indecision. My good, 15 minutes to decide chicken or shrimp in a restaurant. You've been dating 9.5 years and you can't decide if she's the one? Well, get out of the way so she can find somebody who's serious about it. This is biblical advice. Just like I said weeks ago, we should make bracelets that say, what does it matter? Which Stacy has, which is cool. What does it matter? Now I want coasters. And I want coasters that say, do it or don't. Do it or don't. Do it or don't. Buy the house or don't. Sell the house or don't. Take the job or don't. Make the investment or don't. Find the church you want to serve in or don't. Agree to lead that ministry or don't. Give to the campaign or don't. Call the person you need to forgive or do it or don't. Do it or don't. Stop driving all over town on Sunday morning in your car with 6 people because nobody can decide where we're going to eat lunch at. Do it or don't. And everyone in the car says the same thing. I don't really care where we go. Well, I do. I don't want to go to Asian Pearl. I don't want to go to Empress Court. And I don't want to go to Circle K and eat one of those hot dogs that's been rolling all night. And we put 30 miles on our car on a Sunday morning because we can't make a decision. Do it or don't. I have option anxiety. I'm tired of it. I do. Go to McDonald's. Large Coke. Simple. You've got to answer 40 questions about what kind of Coke is Coke. Go to the gas station. I just want gas. I don't want a Slurpee. I don't want a car wash. I don't want a back massage. I just want gas. Too many options. Man, I need this teaching. Trust me, I do. So I made 3 decisions this week because I thought I'm going to ask the crowd, and I shouldn't ask them without doing it myself. I made 3 key decisions, and they all started with the letter N and ended with the letter O. And it felt awesome. So much so that I want you to say it because it's therapeutic, all right? We're all going to say it together on the count of three. I'm telling you, it will make you feel good. Ready? One, two, three. No. Look at the smiles on your face. Feels so good. Check your intake. Check your imbalance. Check your indecision. Only works if you check your integrity. Hard to have a peaceful heart when you're hiding secrets. Hard to pray the panic away when your lifestyle is creating the panic. You know, we all try to figure out which mask to wear to church so no one will see into our real situation at home. You know, there's the work me, there's the after work me, there's the at church me. Hard to manage all those different me's. I might send out the wrong me at the wrong time. I've done that. I thought, uh-oh, I meant to send the preacher me out in that situation, not the at-home me. Our life's made up of different pieces, and we wonder why we can't feel the peace of God. Anybody know what the word integrity means? The literal definition means whole. Brings the pieces of my life together. No greater biblical example than Daniel. I love Daniel. He held to his conviction. His integrity was intact. He would not follow the law of the land, and he ended up in a lion's den, a cold cave with lions, hungry lions that had been starved for that moment. And the part that nobody focuses on is the king who put him there the night before in that plush palace on one of those mattresses that Paul Harvey used to advertise. He couldn't sleep. He knew he had done something bad. He couldn't sleep. So he goes to the cave the next morning, and he has to wake Daniel up. Daniel laying there with one arm propped up on one lion, one arm propped up on the other lion, his feet laying across each other on another lion, and snuggling with the baby lion like a stuffed toy all night long. And it wasn't the surroundings, it wasn't medication, it wasn't the perfect temperature, it wasn't the perfect pillow or the posturpedic mattress. It was the peace of God that passes understanding. You check your integrity. Check my intake, my imbalance, my indecision, my integrity. One last thing in the psalmanar. Why am I so anxious? Check your intention. Not attention, your intention. You know what? People say, well, why didn't she speak to me? And always the follow-up is, why didn't you speak to her? How about that? If there's one thing we've all learned, the good things that come into our lives, they don't just happen. You have to have some intent to make them happen. I don't know the Bible through osmosis. It didn't just come to me in a dream. You want to know the Bible, you have to intend to know the Bible. You have to take steps. You have to make it happen. Good things don't just randomly happen. They are achieved. Every animal or creature on earth has a connecting mechanism to the outside world. I'm going to give you some examples. What's that, obviously? That's a bat. He's an ugly dude, right? Flying rat. I'm not a fan, but God made them, and they have a built-in sonar. They have this built-in sonar that they can detect insects because they're blind as a bat. They can't see. That's how they connect to the outside world. Here's another one. What's this? That is an eel, and that is one ugly hombre, but he has the ability to send a surge of electricity into his prey. That's how he connects with the outside world. Now, he's so ugly, I've questioned whether or not he came from God. I'm thinking maybe, like cats, he came from the devil. Now, how about this one right here? What's that? That is a pigeon. They have a homing device where they can detect magnetic fields. It's how they connect with the outside world, get from point A to point B. Of course, they're always looking for a park bench or your car right after you washed it, right? How about this one? How come y'all didn't go, aw, for the pigeons? What kind of dog is that? That is a basset hound. They are cool. Has this incredible sense, almost miraculous sense of smell. And that's how he connects with the outside world. Now, before I make a spiritual connection, I want to do a little I told you so's. 2016 Reader's Digest article, All the Proof I Need. Primates, mountain gorillas, chimps often follow confrontations with friendly behavior like embracing or kissing. Similar behavior has been observed in non-primates like goats and hyenas. As a matter of fact, the only species that has failed to show outward signs of reconciliation is the domestic cat. Science, people. Bible wants us to know that we have a connecting mechanism with the spiritual world. Now listen to me. It's possible that even in the most anxious situation, the peace of God can be found. We're wired to find it. Listen to this. We're wired. We're created to have that peace. We have this God-shaped vacuum in our heart, in our soul, that only the Creator fits in. And we keep trying to stuff other stuff in there, and we're wondering why we're stressed out all the time. You're putting the wrong thing in the wrong hole. It's fit for God. And anything other than God will leave you wanting. You'll never feel the way you want to feel. So here's the Psalmanar in a nutshell. Check your intake. Is it more than you can handle? Check your imbalance. Weigh things out. Hey, what matters most? Check your indecision. Do it or don't. Do it or don't. Check your integrity. It's easier to feel right every time you do right. And check your intention. Stress relief and peace don't just come. They have to be achieved. What do you intend to do about it? Let me close with Bible trivia. What's the only commandment of the 10 that starts with the word remember? Very good. Remember the Sabbath. Now, which number of the 10 is it? Number 4. Remember the Sabbath. One out of every 7. I'm never good with math illustrations, and I'll probably regret trying this with you, but I think I have it right. God, who created time, gave us 365 days a year, says, give me 1 out of 7. 52 of the 365, and chill out a little bit. 1 out of 7. The average American, if he lives to be 80 years of age, God is saying then for 68 years, you can work, play, rip and run, have fun, but 12 years of the 80 need to chill out. 12 years of the 80. Now, I did a little study on life expectancy. Do you know where the highest life expectancy is in the United States? Anybody? I'd be amazed. It's in Loma Linda, California. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the average life expectancy is higher in Loma Linda, California because of this reason. Loma Linda has the highest concentration of Seventh-day Adventists in the United States. And according to the statistics, and you can do what you want with statistics, I understand that, but according to the stats, guess how much longer they lived than average Americans in Loma Linda, California? That'd be 12 years. If you don't take time at the beginning of things, you won't have it at the end. But if you take some time now, then God seems to add them on to the back end of your life. I told you that I wrote a course in college from Psalm 139. It's a whole lot better than the courses I sang at the beginning, so I do want you to learn it and sing it with me. Even the early service crowd did a fairly good job of this. It used to have verses, but I don't remember them. But it's the chorus that I want you to learn anyway. It goes like this. I'll sing it once and then keep going. You sing it with me a couple times. No one knows me better than you, Lord. No one holds me better than you, Lord. Search my heart and know my words before they're spoken. You see my thoughts and know the ways that I am broken. No one knows me. No one knows me. No one knows me better than you, Lord. Try it with me. No one knows me. No one knows me better than you, Lord. Better than you, Lord. No one holds me. And no one holds me better than you, Lord. Better than you, Lord. You search my heart. You search my heart and know my words before they're spoken. You see my thoughts and know the ways that I am broken. No one knows me. No one knows me. No one knows me. Better than you, Lord. Man, that sounds good. One more time, okay? Here we go. No one knows me better than you, Lord. No one holds me better than you, Lord. You know my heart and know my words before they're spoken. You see my thoughts and know the ways that I've been broken. No one knows me. No one knows me. No one knows me better than you,